Hi and welcome back to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni and today's episode is about how to think about exits, to sell or not to sell. Joining us to discuss this today is Avnish Bajaj, Founder Managing Director, Matrix Partners India. Avnish, you've been through this before with your Bazi journey, wherein Bazi was acquired by eBay, which was subsequently then acquired by Flipkart. In retrospect, what would you have done differently?
Thank you, Saloni. Good to be back for another Matrix Moment. So, look, the history is that if we hadn't, Suveer and I hadn't exited Bazi at that time, we would have probably, I don't know if we would have competed with Flipkart. The journey could have been very different and we could be billionaires today. Who knows if we had lasted it out. So with hindsight, what would I do differently? Probably not much else, because I would argue it was a thoughtful decision. And, you know, in a subsequent episode, we will chat about passion, skill set, opportunity, framework.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something I'd applied, but we'll come to that in that context. But let me tell you in this context, at least how I thought about it. And I would argue even Suveer thought about it. So we thought about who are the key stakeholders and we need to rewind and see what was the journey.
Right.
I have written or spoken earlier about the fact that my motivation to start Bazi was no more complicated than getting rich quick.
Right.
And it turned out to be not very quick. So then the whole dot-com bubble burst. It was actually an excruciatingly painful journey. I would argue that as a company, it was an outstanding journey because we managed to build what seems to have been a really special culture and everybody kind of stuck it out. But from an achievement standpoint and the classic markers of success one would have liked to see, it was very painful. It took very long. It doesn't sound long now, but when you don't have a market, it seems very long. So I would argue the fact that if you looked at the stakeholders, we had investors, I would argue they were tired.
Right.
Because a lot of the venture capitalists who started in 99-2000 actually went out of business themselves during this bust period, right? So the investors, we had 8 or 9, most of them were very supportive, but I could tell that they were tired. Then if I look at employees, as it turns out, post the sale, when eBay did a benchmarking of the compensation, turned out that Bazi was paying about 30 to 40% below market. Yet people were there, which was why I'm very grateful for the kind of culture we had. So employees, I would argue, it was very clear that as part of a global company, people would make some money in the sale, and we had given equity options very deeply, that they would benefit. So that was clear that those stakeholders would benefit, investors would benefit. Then there were our consumers. I mean, eBay has always been a very community-driven site, and so was Bazi. And eBay had done the best job globally in that regard. So with better tools, with more investment of technology, some of that didn't quite play out the way one expected, but it seemed like it would be great for the buyers and sellers on the site. So then it came down to the founders. Founders would make more than what kind of we had thought when we had started the company. Our threshold was very low. I always talk about, and maybe a separate topic, but money is the gap between your needs and your means. And wants start becoming like needs. And I would say at that stage, we were both fairly modest in our aspirations. There is this saying that the first million is the million that people make probably the most short-term decisions for. Could have been that for us. And that was kind of the framework. But I will also tell you that as I think about it, since your question is about what we have done differently, we actually did think we had other investors coming to the office and saying, we will give you new money. And what that would have meant is a moral contract, which we have talked about in a different episode, which would mean signing up for another 3 to 5 to 7 years,
right,
of the journey. And I would argue that if you were to say the reward that was right in front of you or us with the money, as well as all the stakeholders being happy, versus the risk of taking more money, continuing for a while, And also the fact of the historical context, that it had been a very, very tiring journey. I think that's where we realized that we would tip over into this side of selling. And I would say a little bit of that passion to keep running it had dulled just a little bit, but only in the context of this reward. So I think that's how we finally came to this decision.
Okay. Viewing exits from a VC's lens versus a founder's lens are two very different things. What should founders be mindful of when dealing with multiple investors, and is there a playbook to follow for this?
There's never a playbook. Let's make some first principles statements. First is, VCs are in the business of exits. VCs have a portfolio. Founders have a portfolio of one. So when one is thinking through these things, one has to contextualize that by definition, the incentives are not the same. By definition, right? So the incentive for a VC is to continue to exit businesses within 5, 7, 8 years. And there's nothing wrong with it. That's a business choice that one has made. And within the context of the ecosystem, and we have spoken in a different episode about the nature of the contract between a founder and a VC, I mean, this is normal. So I think it is played out a bit more as VC versus founder, whereas the right context is VC and founder, and how do you help each other achieve your objectives? I mean, we talk about founders first, but when starting this business, the founder of Matrix US, Paul Ferry, made the statement that when in doubt, err on the side of founder. And it's kind of the underlying founding principle behind our statement of founders first. So I would say, let's recognize one is in the business of exiting in 5, 6, 7 years. The other has to decide what they want to do. But I believe, speaking to the moral contract earlier, it is the founder's responsibility to take on the VC's exit as their own responsibility, right? It is the VC's obligation to not override the founder's desires with their own exit needs. How you converge all of this is the art in this business. I think with the right intent, with the right moral contract, with the right understanding of each other's needs, desires, all of that, I think it's possible to converge. I think founders need to think of the VC's exit needs, like I said, as their own. Founders should realize that ultimately it's a reputation business. Somebody is giving them money and it's their responsibility to be great custodians of that money. So I think that's the context of the framework. Now, if you bring it down to brass tacks, like what do you actually do? I think the founders should ask themselves whether this is a business they want to run for the next decade. And increasingly in India, founders are asking themselves that question. And it's a very easy answer today. Yes, because the market is deepening, the businesses are happening. It's very exciting. So if you look at Google, the founders are still in charge after close to 20 years. If you look at Zuckerberg at Facebook, he's still in charge after, 12, 15 years. Steve Jobs, came back. And so it is increasingly, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, right? It is increasingly becoming a world of founder-led businesses. Now, does that mean that the founders, the investors have not exited? Of course, they have exited. So what happens is, if the founder takes it on as a responsibility, see, the ultimate exit is for the company to go public.
Right.
And then you are set. People can buy and sell stock, or they can exit in the IPO. The trickier piece is, along the journey, how do you do it? And I would say the best founders continue to realize that it's their responsibility. So they say, hey, I want to run this company for the next decade or maybe for my lifetime. I have a responsibility to the investors who came in earlier. I will get them exits. And by the way, today, as the market is deepening, there are plenty of exit options. And so you basically end up selling as an investor to maybe another investor who's going to then ride it to the next phase. I think the key here is the recognition of the responsibility and the moral contract to say, hey, me, the VC, you, the founder, if you are wanting to run this as a public company, I'm going to be supportive of that. I'm not going to push you to sell the company and recognize that they have a portfolio of one and they have put their life in it. And conversely, the founder to say, hey, the VC, you helped me get started. You have helped me along the journey. I owe you the responsibility to get you an exit on certain terms that would work for you. And I think the convergence of this is increasingly happening in India and will likely continue to only increase, but even IPO and will start showing up as exit options.
Right. And lastly, how does a founder know that it is the right time to sell?
I think part of it we covered in the previous question of saying, do you see yourself doing this for the next 10 years, for the next 15 years, for the next 20 years?
Right.
And we will also talk a little bit in the context of a different episode, the passion, skill set, opportunity. My 2-cent advice is very simple. Ultimately in life, if you're going to be putting your blood, sweat and tears and money and wealth into something, it has to pass the shower test, right? It has to pass the passion test. And if you wake up every morning passionate to go into work, it's, I don't know if it's Warren Buffett's book or somebody's book that says tap dancing to work. If you're tap dancing to work, and maybe include a link to this, if you're tap dancing to work and it's your company, you should keep running it. The day you don't feel that, by the way, even then, you don't have to sell the company. You may choose to actually take a little bit of a back seat and bring in a CEO, because your wealth creation, as we have seen with, you know, look at the top companies that have become 800 to a billion, trillion dollars in the last decade. Apple, of course, has been a comeback story with the founder at the helm. But Amazon, Google, Facebook, these are all massive wealth creation opportunities. So as a founder, you don't have to sell. You may just say, okay, if I'm not tap dancing to work, if I'm not feeling excited, I may bring in somebody else. So that's how I would think about it.
Thanks, Avnish.
Thank you for listening, and you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.